And now we present the second program in a 9-part musical essay on the 50s, Great Balls of Fire. Your host, Pete Myers, turning the clock back to
1951.
This is great balls of fire!
When the decade really got going, someone had the bright idea to find out the favorite pastimes of teenagers, one of the earliest youth surveys conducted. Conclusion?
Kids today spend their time going to the movies, dancing, and reading comics.
Which only proves that nothing has changed over the decades. Comics and cartoon films were a wonderful escape for my generation from the gray, threatening, adult-dominated world. But in the dazzling universe of animation, our favorite characters were having adventures, excitement, and the sort of fun we longed for. It was no coincidence, then, that the music industry latched onto this mood and released a record that immortalized two of our heroes, a cute canary and a devious cat.
I am that great big bad old cat, Sylvester is my name. I only have one aim in life, and that is very plain. I want to catch that little bird and eat him right away. But just as I get close to him, this is what he'll say. I caught a tall putty cat creeping upon me. You bet he saw a putty cat. That putty cat is me.
Putty cat is very bad. He sneaks up from behind. I don't think I would like it if I knew what's on his mind. I have a strong suspicion that his plans for me aren't good. I am inclined to think that he would eat me if he could.
I'd like to eat that sweetie pie when he leaves his cage, but I can never catch him. It throws me in a rage. You bet I'd eat that little bird if I could just get near. But every time that I approach, this is all I hear.
I tore a putty cat a creeping up on me. I did, I tore a putty cat as great as he could be. And when I sing that little song, my mistress knows he's back. She grabs her broom and brings it down upon Sylvester's back. So listen, you bad putty cat, let's both be friends, you see. My mistress will not chase you if you sing this song with me. Come on now, like a good cat.
Oh, all right. Suffering succotash.
I tore a putty cat a creeping up on me. I tore a putty cat as plain as he could be.
Suffer and succotash, but he was marvelous. The late Mel Blanc, the unforgettable voice of Tweety Pie, Sylvester, Bugs Bunny, and a host of cartoon characters. I tore a putty cat was a top 10 hit in the United States when 1951 got started, and it set the tone for the rest of the year, which was cluttered with inane ditties that launched the careers of singers who would shine in the pre-rock era. Take this lady, for instance, who was 22 at the time and established her fame with the pseudo-Italian nonsense.
Come on to my house, I'm gonna give you candy. Come on to my house, I'm gonna give you apple, plum, and apricot, I do, eh? Come on to my house, come on. Come on to my house, come on. Come on to my house, I'm gonna give you figs and dates and grapes and cakes, eh? Come on to my house, come on. Come on to my house, come on. Come on to my house, I'm gonna give you candy. Come on to my house, I'm gonna give you everything.
The invitation was irresistible, and if we couldn't take Rosemary Clooney home, we settled for the record. It was her first number one, and the lyrics were by one of America's distinguished authors, William Sarayan. And then came Al Chernick. Al made some of the most bizarre recordings of the 50s, and in a bizarre musical year, this found a ready market.
Sparrow in the treetop, though he loves his mate. Sparrow in the treetop, scared of going home because it's too darn late. don't look at me, sweetheart, with scorn in your eyes. Been out all night, gonna tell you no lies. Stopped in one place, heard them singing a song. Like a lonely sparrow, started singing along.
Just singing, sparrow in the treetop, sparrow in the treetop, oh, he loves his mate. Sparrow in the treetop, sparrow in the treetop, scared of going home because it's too darn late.
Sparrow in the Treetop, and Al Chanik found his place in the pre-rock Hall of Fame when he name-changed to Guy Mitchell. Cats, Canaries, Clooney and Chanik, was there nothing coming out of the new world that stirred the savage breast?
This recording will have a bad influence on young people's morals.
I guess there was, and Frankie Lane got the blame.
Parents should discourage their children from buying it.
And thanks to the moral majority of the times, we all made a beeline for our Bibles to check out this femme fatale.
Jezebel, if ever a pair of eyes promised paradise, deceiving me, grieving me, leaving me blue. Jezebel, it was you. If ever the devil's plan was made to torment man, it was you. Night and day, every way, Jezebel, Jezebel.
This is great. Balls of fire.
Hello, young lovers, whoever you are. I hope your troubles are few. All my good wishes go with you tonight. I've been in love like you. Brave young lovers and follow your star. Be brave and faithful and true. Cling very close to each other tonight. I've been in love like you.
Broadway in the 50s banked on big musicals, and the hit of 51 was Rodgers and Hammerstein's exotic The King and I. And that patronizing song was a way of telling the younger generation that their elders knew everything. The youth market responded with a ballad that topped the best-selling lists on both sides of the Atlantic, and which was condemned by one critic of the time who said its title
vaguely suggests and encourages juvenile delinquency.
Encouraging juvenile delinquency? Nat King Cole?
They try to tell us we're too young. Too young to really be in love. They say that love's a word we've only heard. But can't begin to know the meaning of. And yet, we're not too young to know. This love will last, though years may go. And then someday they may recall we were not.
at all.
Nat King Cole may have expressed the frustration of youth in 51, but he was too suave and sophisticated for juvenile taste. We needed a role model, someone who felt our pent-up emotions, the agony of living in a world of rigid convention and conservative morality. And the gods must have been listening, because right on cue, they sent us the Prince of Wales.
If your sweetheart sends a letter of goodbye, it's no secret you feel better if you cry. When waking from a bad dream, don't you sometimes think it's real, but it's only false emotions that you feel. If your heartaches seem to hang around too long, your blues keep getting bluer with each song, remember sunshine can be found behind a cloudy sky, so let your head down and go on and cry. If your heartache seems to hang around too long, and your blues keep getting bluer with each song, well now remember sunshine can be found behind a cloudy sky, so let your hair down and go right on, baby, and cry. Subbed
all the way to the bank, one of the key recordings of the pre-rock years, and the American singer who for the first time made Western teenagers feel that he was on their side, the late Johnny Ray. In retrospect, when looking now at the direction popular music was taking in 51, music very much dominated by the Americans, you get the feeling that we were heading back to the nursery. Where was the innovation, the spark of creativity that would take us out of the sea of crassitude? Well, it so happened that 51 was also the year that an old instrument came into vogue, the guitar. And a musician from Wisconsin, interested in electronics, hit on the idea of making a solid-body electric guitar, which he sold to the Gibson Company and became famous as the Les Paul guitar. With his wife Mary Ford, Paul charted new ground when he introduced the technique known as overdubbing, the method whereby a duo could sound like a quartet, and in the process chalked up a million seller that was to have a deep influence on a generation of guitarists.
Somewhere there's music, I'll paint the tune. Somewhere there's heaven, I'll hide the moon. There is no moon above, love is far away too. Till it comes true that you love me, it's I love you. Shine if you would come to me soon. Until you will, still my heart, I'll hide the moon.
balls of fire.
1951.
The music of George Gershwin, the style of director Vincente Minnelli, and a ballet that lasted 20 minutes on screen. A ballet that took a month to shoot, and which to this day is regarded as a Hollywood masterwork. All of it the creation of a dancer-choreographer who would reshape the Hollywood musicals in their last years, Gene Kelly.
This is Paris, and I'm an American who lives here. My name's Jerry Mulligan, and I'm an ex-GI. In 1945, when the Army told me to find my own job, I stayed on. And I'll tell you why. I'm a painter. All my life, that's all I've ever wanted to do. And for a painter, the mecca of the world for study, for inspiration, and for living is here on this star called Paris.
Edgar!
Rhythm.
Edgar!
Music.
Edgar!
My gal, who could ask for anything more? Daisy, in green pastures. My gal, who could ask for anything more? Old man Trouble, I don't mind him. You won't find him round my door.
Who company, sir?
No! I got
rhythm.
I got
music.
My
gal, who could ask for anything more? Who could ask for anything more?
An American in Paris caused a sensation when it picked up an Oscar in 51 as the best film of the year. But even though the California Dream Factory was at peak production, the golden age of Hollywood was drawing to a close. Tinseltown was under threat. The name of this attractive virus?
Television.
But the industry that felt no threat from the new medium, the music makers, were happily dozing their way through novelty songs and starting a new vogue that would catch on with a vengeance in 52, the cover version. It was a simple notion. Take a song from another source, in this case, France.
Quand il me prend dans ses bras, il me parle tout bas, je vois la vie en rose. Des mots d'amour, des mots de tous les jours, que ça me fait quelque chose.
Edith Piaf's La Vie en Rose, the record the Europeans would buy. But get yourself some English lyrics and someone of the caliber of Louis Armstrong, and that's the version that sells across the Atlantic.
Hold me close and hold me fast, the magic spell you cast. This is La Vie en Rose. When you kiss me, heaven sighs, and though I close my eyes, I see La Vie en Rose.
The cover version was so successful that it worked the other way round too. In America, Vaughan Monroe had a blockbuster with a song that found its way to Holland, where the words were translated into Dutch and did fantastically on the domestic market.
Gewassen is de droge grond, want er is geen water. Koel, helder water. Vergeefs gaan de paarden naar de droge bron voor eeuwen.
And in the hands of the Chicos, cool water becomes cool Helderwater, cool, clear water. I guess they must have been early greens. One cover version that was a milestone in 51, even though not many were aware of it at the time, grew out of the gradual awareness in white America that there was a gold mine on the other side of the racial divide. And his name was Huddy Ledbetter.
Yes, look at your mama. You don't treat pig meat the way you should. Oh, you don't treat pig meat the way you should. If you don't believe this is pig meat, ask anybody in your neighborhood.
The voice and guitar of Leadbelly, who died in comparative poverty in 1949, but whose music was to have a lasting influence on rock musicians, particularly the British, when the rock era began. In his lifetime, Leadbelly recorded hundreds of blues, folk songs, and ballads that are a valuable part of the Afro-American heritage. And in 51, 2 years after his death, he was being discovered by the white musical establishment. The man himself hardly made a penny from his music, but others did, and it began a trend that took root in the 50s. Bear in mind that the division between black and white culture was a fact of life in the United States. The major record companies geared their product for white customers, and if the origin was black, you simply remade it for white taste. This, for instance, was the origin of one of the biggest hits of the year.
Irene, in good night. Irene, in good night. Good night.
Leadbelly with his own composition, Goodnight Irene. The song is discovered by Pete Seeger and his early folk group, The Weavers. Gordon Jenkins and his orchestra quicken the tempo to waltz time, and the girl from the backwoods of Louisiana can finally go to the prom through the front door.
Irene, good night.
Another stroll downtown.
It's still a beautiful melody, but did you notice the switch? In Leadbelly's version, the line goes,
"Good night, Irene. I'll get you in my dreams."
And when it's whitened up, it becomes,
"Good night, Irene. I'll see you in my dreams."
What you gets is what you sees. This sanitizing of black lyrics would reach ridiculous heights in the rock era, but as long as whites controlled the record industry, raunchiness in any form was out. And yet, ironically, in the southlands of the States, in a black culture that was being ignored, the age of rock and roll had begun. And this was the recording that could have launched a pop revolution 4 years before it actually happened. Why it didn't is something I'll attempt to answer next week. Just bear in mind that this was recorded in
1951.
You wait.
women have heard of jalopies, you've heard the noise they make, but let me introduce my new Rocket 88. Yes, it's straight, just one way. Everybody likes my Rocket 88. Baby, we'll ride in style, moving all along. Smart and designed, black convertible top, and the gals don't mind. Sporting with me, riding all around town for joy. Blow your horn, Raymond, blow! In my rocket and don't be late, baby, we're pulling out about 8:30. Going round the corner and hit a bill. Everybody in my car's gonna take a little nip. Move on out, oozing and cruising along.
And that was the second program in a 9-part series written and produced by Pete Myers. Great Balls of Fire is a Radio Netherlands presentation.